B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boston, to me, checks all the boxes. If you're a gambling person, they have the most unique odds as an underdog. They check the coach box. Excellent. They check the multiple players capable of scoring 20 box. Check. They now check that we've got a star we can go to with 2 minutes left box. Check. They check the playoff experience box. I thought yesterday was a great loss in the NBA. I don't believe all wins don't have fault, and I don't think all losses are bad. I thought yesterday was as good a loss as the Celtics could have. And I think yesterday Boston proved they are absolutely capable of winning the NBA championship.
Colin Coward says the Celtics are capable of winning an NBA title this season. Agree or disagree?
Maybe.
No! No! Stop it! Damn it, you!
I still think it's Milwaukee.
I disagree.
It's
still the Bucks, right? It's still
disagree.
The Bucks.
I don't see it.
Like, everything's got to fall their way, break their way. They need complete health.
You're going to go in, look.
Hayward's got to play better.
You played a nice game against the Lakers, against LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but you lost. And I know Kemba Walker wasn't in, but that changes the dynamic. Maybe Tatum doesn't go off for 41. You still lost, right? You know, there were years when we saw the Celtics beat the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, but see.
And in Golden State,
yes.
did we say that they were
good
capable
matchup
of winning an NBA championship when they did that?
Well, normal, rational people didn't say that.
No.
But see, that game.
Some lunatic fringe fans were certainly
that got
saying it.
That got people excited, though, about what that could potentially be, like Lakers-Celtics finals. Like that type of game back and forth.
Listen,
games.
I've got higher
like
hopes for them in the playoffs now than I did at the start of the year.
Absolutely. They're way exceeding my expectations. I am all in on this team, and they're absolutely performing wonderfully. Everything bottom is great. They're not a favorite. A favorite to
win the
title?
Well, he's not saying they're a favorite. He's just saying that they've got sort of as the in the group of underdogs, he thinks they're sort of the way I heard it was they've got the best shot of the teams that are not obvious.
They are capable of winning a championship.
Capable of doing it. Not likely to do it, but capable of actually getting through all four rounds required to win the NBA
title. And all the same rules are in place here, assuming health of their opponents?
Yeah. Yes.
It's not impossible, but I wouldn't put it at a high likelihood to the point where I would go on and say they're capable of winning a championship this
year. If they went through Milwaukee and made it to the finals, how great would that be?
It'd be great,
but I still wouldn't be picking them to win it all.
No.
And getting through Milwaukee to me would be great. I mean, that would be wonderful.
Amazing.
There's one flaw in his argument.
What is it?
When he said they have their superstar to get the ball in the final 2 minutes to score.
Well, they sort of do. I would have liked to have seen.
They have the player. They couldn't get him the ball to score in those situations.
But admittedly, Kemba wasn't on the floor.
Right.
And we know that's a big part of that equation.
It is.
You know what was an epic disappointment from Sunday? Gordon Hayward.
Why is it in big games like that?
He was brutal.
It seems like you talk about him in that sense. No,
yeah,
triple-double, but is he the fourth option?
Hollow triple double.
I think he had 10 points.
Seriously, is he?
I think he scored 10.
What did he shoot in the game?
But when you have complete health, what option is he? You got Kemba. You got Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum now has become your number one option. Would you defer to Jaylen Brown ahead of Gordon Hayward?
I wouldn't do that yet. I'd still like.
It's almost like he's third or fourth option.
Oh yeah, he's third.
Yeah, maybe fourth. If they catch fire and Jaylen's game gets close to what Tatum's is, you would defer to him as the fourth option.
Yeah. He was 5 of 15 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3. That was Hayward's day shooting.
No free throws?
No free throws. Didn't get
got 10 points. Yeah, I remember.
Yep.
10 points.
10 points. Yeah. And he did. He had 8 rebounds and 9 assists. Sorry, I don't look at his performance as a great day for Gordon Hayward. If you watch that game, you're looking at Gordon Hayward saying, give me more,
but for Luthy Greenpants back here, like, that's almost a triple-double.
Greenpants.
It is almost a triple-double.
I mean,
factually correct.
Technically, he's right. It was almost a triple-double. I'm not putting stock into his day.
I don't think he played. He missed a shot at the end, but I don't think he played terrible.
I think when you look at Gordon Hayward and you say, okay, the reason why you're here and why you can be so helpful to this team is because you are yet another scoring option, right? Isn't that one of the strengths of this team?
That's
they can score
product.
In a variety of different ways.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't happening for Gordon Hayward with his 10 points. That didn't feel like 10 points.
On a day when he didn't have Kemba. Yeah.
It felt to me like they could have used him a little more. He could have afforded to have a better contribution on Sunday against the Lakers. So I don't buy it. I'm not buying what Colin Cowherd is selling there, that the Celtics are a legit contender. Not yet. But I think they're a really good team. I think their expectations for some people, myself included, have sort of grown.
Game kind of, I don't want to say put them on the map, but now
it's not just that one
talking
game.
To them in the mix.
It's not just that one game.
It's the way Tatum has been playing.
I'd say probably the way they've played since the new year. That's what I would give them.
Yeah, and the rise of Tatum.
Ian is in Pembroke. Ian.
Hey, guys. How's it going today? Good.
What's up?
Good. Hey, so I think we're missing the point on Cowherd. I don't know if he's calling them a legit contender. He's just, I think the basic thing you take away from this year, there's no Golden State, right? These guys, you can't just look at Sunday's game. And I agree, that was a great loss. And listen, I may be a green teamer. I love the Celtics, diehard season tickets. But they played two games against the Lakers. At home, the first game, the Lakers came out, they were up like 15-2. They came back and kicked their ass. And then the Clippers, they split those two games. Those are the two best games of the league this year. And they beat the Bucks once. I think Milwaukee's more of a problem than either two of the West Coast teams. But I think what he's saying is, like, why aren't they a possibility? Do I think they're going to win it? I don't. But why not? Because they've already proved with these huge games away in L.A., you know, and against the Clippers, Lakers, these guys, there's something about this team, man, and it's growing as every game that goes by. They're so fun to root for. They play the game the right way. And this year, I mean, I could see them, you know, Eastern Conference Finals, possibly getting to the finals. Do I think they win? I don't. I think they need more size. But, I mean, let's be fair. Yeah, anyone can win it this year.
Well, sort of. I don't believe anyone can win it. And I also think that despite feeling good about their wins against good competition, it's completely different when you go into a 7-game series.
Yeah.
One game does not equal a 7-game series.
Yeah, what's the condition of the bench? You know, you like the coach's ability to adjust from game to game, but this is why I think Celtic green teamers were so pissed off the trade deadline, why Danny didn't make a move, because I think a lot of people feel like this is anybody's year. Your window's now. Why not make that big move? You know, get that guy that could put you over the top. But they like this team. They like this team's chemistry, so they're rolling with what they have.
I still felt like the Celtics couldn't deal with the Lakers' size in that game, despite hanging.
Lakers looked bigger.
Of course they are. They are bigger.
White too, man. Davis, Jesus.
They still don't have an answer for it.
You bring up Davis. That was the thing, you know, like you couldn't get Tatum the ball in certain situations when LeBron needed to inbound the ball. And that was, you know, the issue was still in doubt and he needed to, you know, get the ball to Anthony Davis. That's no problem. I mean, number one, it's LeBron inbounding the ball. So there's your first check in the
even
pro
when
column.
Dwight Howard
and
was
second
in the
of
game.
All, yeah, when you, and you're getting it to Anthony Davis. Yes, just put it right around in this general area. I'll get it. That's you throw the ball to me. That's my ball. It's easy when you're that size.
617-779-0985. We'll talk to the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens will join us on the line coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I've always kind of tried to figure out like who you are. Like I've always kind of looked at you from the outside like mild-mannered, sort of is how you come across. I don't know if you've ever heard, from time to time, I'll do an impersonation. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but I kind of
I've heard it. My wife loves it.
She does love it?
She loves it.
So does she ever...
We were walking through Sacramento this year, and we walked by like a kid's store, uh-huh. and there was a shirt that said G. Willikers on it. And she was like,
"Tell me she bought it.
Oh my God, you got to get it." And I was like, "I'm not going to get that. I don't think I've ever said that in my life." But
well, so that's
hey, if it passes time for you when you need to.
Well, Brad, you should see the amount of time that we need to pass.
Wow, so much to unpack from that last week when Brad Stevens was on with Jones.
They always listen. They always hear about it.
I'd like to thank Tracy Stevens, our friend Tracy, for listening to 98.5 The Sports Hub. She's a Jones fan. It's interesting. Not many people are, you know?
That's a phrase never uttered before in the course of human history.
A Jones fan.
A Jones fan.
He's so happy we're back to work this week.
Have you heard Jones, like, unfiltered, like, long-form Brad Stevens imitation?
Yeah.
Unfiltered, meaning off the air?
No, just, I mean, not clipped, not edited, just, you know, middle of his segment, 10, 12 minutes of
tangent.
Jones
when he
and
goes
Brad
on one of
Stevens.
His tangents, yeah.
Oh, gee, Willikers.
Golly gee, Jason.
I don't know how he keeps it up. He'll do it for long stretches.
Because he's sick in the head.
There are
a lot
of voices that take place on that show at night.
Yeah. It was very quiet in here. Very dark.
Last night was the miracle on ice. And how 40 years ago,
not a big deal.
The Miracle on Ice was
not
actually
that big a deal.
One of the most overrated sporting events in the history of our country. And how it wasn't that impressive that the United States beat Russia in the 1980 Olympics.
Meanwhile,
that was Jones's take last.
And there's people tweeting that they're sitting there watching the movie Miracle over and over and over again. And even David Andrews said he wants his kids to play hockey once he has
and,
them.
And Jones responded to him and said, it just happened to be a Zamboni driver.
Right.
That way he'll get his crack at the NHL.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Online. The head coach of the Celtics, Brad Stevens, is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. I'm sorry that you had a deal with Jones last week.
No, it was good. Where'd you guys go?
Well, vacation, coach.
Yeah,
we got to get away from the grind.
I was in Aruba. Zoe was in Florida.
Yeah.
You go back to Miami, Zoe?
I did not. A little north of there, north of Palm Beach here.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah,
so really, does your wife really listen?
You should have some pretty good sun in the last 3 weeks from being down there, huh?
Well, coach, I had to work the Super Bowl, so like I didn't really get any sun. I basically bitched about the convention center the whole time. These two guys got mad at me for that.
Yeah, which my coach is very much aware of. Remember, he asked you.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey, you got a little technical foul at the end of that game the other day. Was that justifiable?
Yeah. I don't like to comment on those things.
We didn't think it was.
I'm just going to – oh, really? I'll let you guys talk about it.
We had the two hands up. You're looking around like, did you just call it technical?
All right, Jeff
– in the moment of this?
Jeff Van Gundy had some comments while that was all playing out. And I'll ask you about this part. Do you think that in other parts of the game throughout, you know, the season, that you're too nice in general to the referees, that you're not as mean to the referees as other head coaches in the league?
I don't really get into that stuff. I think they have a really hard job, and I'm trying to. I usually don't, you know, overreact. I certainly don't want to overreact just for the sake of overreacting. I certainly have my moments where I don't agree with something, and I make it known, and sometimes do it, in a way that. You know, your buddy Adam Jones probably wouldn't be happy about. So I think that, you know, you just do your best to coach your team. If I'm focused on anything else, it's just too hard. Like if I'm out there just to try to work referees or ride referees, that just doesn't make any sense to me. I think that our referees are graded on every call after every game by the league office. And so they're not going to be like they're graded whether they got the call right or wrong, not by the emotions of the game. And so I know that. I know how hard their job is. I try my best not to make their job more difficult or to make my job more difficult. But at the end of the day, you know, obviously you're going to react to some.
Well, without any specific reference to that call or your tech or anything, just you watching games, coaching games, watching other games, we talked about this and we said that it seems like still the NBA officials do call games a little bit differently, tight games in the final 2 minutes. Now it feels like the final 30 seconds because so much of it comes down and that things are officiated a little bit differently. Just over the years, do you notice a difference in the in how tight or how loose a game might be called in those final frames?
Well, I think the end game and the whole goal is to make sure that you call it the same way for 48 minutes. But there's also, you know, and I completely understand this, teams, you get the intensity level, the focus level, the everything goes up to that up a notch when you're in that environment the other day, really the whole game, or certainly at the end of tight games. And so it becomes very difficult to make those calls. I think that the NBA, and, you know, I don't agree with every call by any means, and certainly, you know, go through games or watch games just like everybody else and will say, why was that made? But I think it's the most consistent that I've ever seen in basketball with regard to how hard they work at it, how accountable they are, you know, the grading system. There's a lot that goes into it, and it's not an easy job. And, you know, again, I think that as a coach, and maybe there's some coaches that can do both, but you know, I'm just not talented enough to focus on what somebody else's job is and not do mine. I think that that's just, you know, I think I feel good about the fact that every time we take the floor, it's going to be a fairly officiated game because we've got really good, prideful officials.
Celtics continue their road trip at Portland tonight. Head coach Brad Stevens is with us. Brad, a lot of people have described Sunday's loss against the Lakers as a great loss. Do you believe in great losses?
No. No, I'm out. I'm out on those. There's no such thing. Dinner doesn't taste as good when you lose. You don't sleep as well when you lose, so no. I guess if people want to say that, that's fine. But, you know, I think that you know, it doesn't matter any game, whether it's there by two or somewhere else by 30. You know, losing is no fun, and you know, we're all in this to finish on the other side of the scoreboard at the end of the game. So no, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, but you've got to feel good coming out of the All-Star break too, the way your team has been able to sort of, you know, turn the page here and gear up. And I've talked to you and asked you this question heading into like the month of March. That type of intensity is the way you want your team to play with as, you know, you really ramp this thing up. Fair to say?
Well, we were really good heading into the All-Star break. I mean, when you consider the win, I don't know what it was, 8 or 9 or 7 of 8 or whatever it was right before the break with the only loss at Houston is rolling. You know, we were playing really well, and it was important to come out of the break playing well. And that Minnesota game we knew was going to be hard. And, you know, I think that ultimately we found a way to score enough points, but we didn't guard the way we wanted to guard. I thought we were better against the Lakers, and that's one thing that you can take from the other day is that sometimes when you lose, you actually play better. And but at the same time, I think that doesn't make it any more easy to swallow. And part of it is that this stretch of games is really hard. And so, you know, we're playing in Portland tonight. Portland's one of the best atmospheres and toughest places to play in the league. We go to Utah tomorrow night. You know, obviously they're great. You go back and you play Houston, like it doesn't stop right now. And so it's really important that we're, you know, able to compartmentalize game by game what the task at hand is, but then also, like, you know, learn from what we did well the other day, do a few things a little bit better so that we feel better about, you know, the end game.
Coach, you'll be without Kemba Walker again tonight, third straight game that he will miss due to his knee issue. Should he have played in the All-Star game as much as he did?
It's a good question. I don't know. You know, I think the biggest thing, and I said this last week or whatever, that if our medical staff and or Kemba would have thought that there was any way that he would have come back with more soreness and more swelling, he wouldn't have played. He wouldn't have chose to play. Like, he's not going to do that. So I think it was an unfortunate deal that, you know, the swelling happened. That was the new that was kind of the difference in how his knee presented versus how it presented in the past. And it was pretty significant. And I talked about it. He got it drained and then got an injection in there. So we knew he was going to be out a little bit here. But now, you know, what we've tried to do is say, okay, what's the best way so we don't play the back and forth game, you know, and so that we can have him feeling great. And you're not in as much of a day by day. Okay, how's he feeling today? How's it going to present tomorrow? And so he's focused in the last 3 days on really strengthening. He's been in the different workout rooms and weight rooms that we've been in. And so that'll be the emphasis again today, and we'll see where we go from here. But you know, my goal would be to hopefully when he comes back, we don't have to play the back and forth game as much.
So it doesn't sound like there's any major concern about it being long term.
No, he had he's had regular scans on that. You know, really ever since he got back from UFA basketball, just to continue to make sure. And by regular, I mean maybe once every other month or once every, you know, month and a half. And so, no, nothing structurally. It's just, you know, he's just got he's played a lot. And the other factor that we've tried to weigh all year is that, you know, he also played for a month and a half before the season started and played quite a bit. And so, you know, knowing that, knowing his, you know, tendency that he usually plays, I mean, he's been an 80 game a year guy for a bunch of years in a row at 35 minutes a game. That's why we've tried to keep his minutes around 32 or 33. And, you know, unfortunately he's missed a few more games this year, but you know, we've got to have the long picture in mind here.
I'm not going to ask you how good Jason Tatum was the other day, cause it was pretty damn good, but the better he gets like that and you face the type of competition that you face and teams start to switch and double and more as the game goes on, how much does that complicate things for you and how you got to get creative to get him open?
Well, I don't think it complicates it a whole lot. I mean, we're gonna, you know, you can put them on different spots on the floor, but the double will still come. Doubles are harder to execute in some areas than others, but where he had the ball and where they were doubling him right there at the, what we call the slot or the just off the lane line extended is something that we should be able to take advantage of a little bit better than we did. You know, whenever we've gotten doubled this year, it's usually been Kimba off ball screens, and we've been great against it. And in large part because when Kimba gets doubled, you have, you know, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, Marcus Smart just standing around there ready to attack off the first pass, right? So, like, you know, we got really good players. We shouldn't be able to be doubled. And so I think one of the learning point from the other day is just recognizing that over help when it does happen, getting off it quick and then being ready to get it back. But he did a pretty good job towards the end of the game. We had a couple of good possessions, but you know, that was the first time that he had really seen that Harden double where, you know, you're at the top of the key or you're at that slot area and they run two at you and you've just got to make a quick decision. I think that's one of the things that the longer you're in it, the more you respect about what Harden's been able to accomplish because he gets rid of the ball really quickly, and yet he still ends up with 40 every night, you know? And so that's, you know, we talked about that in film when we landed in Portland yesterday. And this is why Tatum's so fun to, you know, to be around right now. Cause you can talk about things like that. And he's just, you know, he's eating all that up cause he wants to be great.
One final one for you. Have you given any thought to the fact that you passed Casey Jones in Celtics all time coaching wins last week?
I really haven't. I mean, I'm just absolutely blessed to have a chance to be a part of this organization. And, you know, I knew that coming from Butler after my first four games here, I didn't think we'd ever win one game. And so to win one was great. And then to win two and every one is hard, but, if Casey would have coached 7 years, he would be way ahead of me. His percentage was a hell of a lot better than ours, but I just am really lucky to work here, and I appreciate the relationships and the people I work with. And you know, it's been a fun ride. It's amazing. It's 7 years in, and you know, we haven't been to where, you know, we ultimately want to go, but
we've won a lot of games and had a lot of good teams and great guys to work with, and I'm thankful to have been a part of it.
And Shaughnessy tells us he covered the team during those years, that it was pretty much Bird and McHale that coached that team. They would tell KC what to do.
I would tell you this, that Danny Ainge loves Casey Jones, and I've never talked to Bird or Kevin about it, and he thinks the world of him. So, and I know everybody else does that played with him here on the championship teams that he played with, and then was with him when he was coaching. So, this lineage of coaches is pretty. You know, those are big shoes to step into. That's for sure. You know, that's why I just try not to screw it up.
Oh, maybe with this new milestone, we get a G. Willikers T-shirt signed here for the Sports Hub. And you can put it on a wall.
Oh, great.
Yeah. We got some nice jerseys hanging in. All right, Coach.
I was going to say that's how I got my tech the other day to see if Jones would raise the money and pay for it.
But it's not
what I said. I'm an honest. So tell him I'm an honest guy. That's not what I said. I'll save that. We'll save that for another time.
All right, Coach.
All right, Coach. Good
luck. Thanks for the time. Yeah. Brad Stevens with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline from Portland, where the Celtics take on the Trailblazers.
Crazy atmosphere, huh? We're running along there. I wanted to ask him. We can ask him next week if he wants to put your good loss question in the pantheon with getting lucky over Gordon Hayward's injury question. I believe he would say that, you know, those were certainly your question about Hayward's injury and that they got lucky with it. He would deem one of the worst questions he's ever been asked.
What makes you think it was a bad question to ask if people are saying?
He did not.
You knew what he was going to say. Did you have an idea where that was going to go?
He did not appreciate the question. I don't think he thought of it as a good question, but we can ask him. We'll give him a week to think about it.
It was a perfectly acceptable question.
Did you think that about Gordon Hayward's injury, whether he got lucky? Did you think that was a good question?
It was so bad.
See, now I'm doubting your judgment on whether what you think is a good question.
There was no indication that he did not appreciate the question.
Do you know how many times I rewound the TV?
He didn't take issue with the question this time.
No.
The Gordon Hayward question.
The takeaways, we'll listen to it again. We'll see if he had any issue based on his reaction with the question. I think we should listen to it for today's takeaways.
He had issue with the idea that there's such thing as a great loss. Not with the question.
We will listen.
I don't know that you can be objective about this.
You may have to.
You can't be objective about this.
I'm Mr. Objectivity.
I don't believe you are.
Today's takeaways, we'll listen to his reaction to your question, and then we will
He showed disdain for anyone that would suggest that there's such thing as a great loss.
Do you believe
it was a great loss?
Disdain for you.
No. Do you believe it was a great loss the other night?
Great loss. I thought it was a good game.
It was a good game.
And he said that, you know, you play better in some games that you lose. I agree that they played well.
They played up to competition.
But they lost.
They played up to competition.
There are two types of fans coming out of that game the other night. The ones that say, ooh, great loss. Yay, Celtics. And the other ones who say, and those fans also blame the refs.
They're not there yet.
The refs hosed them.
They lost because
of the refs. And the other fans then say, wow, it was a good game, but man, there are things the Celtics could have done better in the final minutes to come out on the right side of that thing, and they didn't. So,
yeah, the great loss people are the ones that stand
there
and cheer them at the end of the year.
And I'm glad that Brad Stevens is on the right side of that debate. That's all.
I thought you called it a great loss earlier in the show.
I thought you said Spider.
No, I did not. Colin Cowherd did, and the caller did. I did not. There's nothing wrong with that question. Nothing wrong at all with that question. G. Willikers. 617-779.
Do you think there's anything wrong with the question? His mic's off. He's done. We're late.
Oh, he took his headphones off.
Yeah,
he's mic done. Is off. We're right.
4 minutes late.
It's okay.
Seven.
We'll take care of it. We'll be okay. I promise we'll be all right. We'll figure it out.
G. Willikers.
More of your calls coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now it's
time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I got some Tom Brady news for you. Putting the puzzle together, so to speak. First of all, the Patriots have met with Jordan Love, Utah State quarterback. You watched him at all?
I have not.
Okay. I know you will between now and the draft.
Thursday night, the quarterback's throw. I can't wait.
So Jordan Love has met with the Patriots, as has quarterback Jake Fromm.
I've watched a lot
of him. I know you've seen plenty of him.
Plenty.
What are your thoughts on him?
I like him. I think he's real compact. He's a smaller guy. Small hands. Here we go.
Small hands.
Same type of football you play with in college. I mean, the kid can throw. He played as a true freshman. Played on a big stage. Played in big games. SEC games. SEC title games. Championship games. So, he's got good game experience.
Okay, so
Throws an anticipatory ball, if that makes any sense. He gets rid of the ball, anticipates well because the gun isn't there. He's not Matt Stafford.
All right. So the Patriots are looking at quarterbacks again. That's interesting. Those are names. I mean, those are names that you've heard.
Those are pretty decent names, yeah.
And, I mean, I've seen mock drafts where, you know how much I hate a mock draft, but I'm into it again. Because I know where the Patriots are going in the coming years, and it's time to start paying attention again. And I've seen drafts where Jordan Love goes as he's top 15 pick in a lot of drafts.
Wow!
So when I see that, I go,
he had a bad senior year, but he was huge on the boards going into the season.
Okay, so when I hear these names, Jake Fromm. Everyone knows who Jake Fromm. Jordan Love. Okay, that's a guy who's
Jordan Love's got a
that's
blood,
a name.
He's got a Bledsoe look to him.
But that means the Patriots are looking again. They're taking a look again, like they have in recent years. But it doesn't say great things about their current. Well, I don't know what he is, if he's the backup or not. Well, but Jared Stidham.
What's wrong with Stidham? They may think Stidham's the guy, and you bring in another guy to compete with him or be the
nothing.
Backup.
Like, keep nothing. Taking your shots. You're
and
right.
It's cheap.
No, you're right. That is a good point, though. So.
This kid Love looks like Bledsoe to me.
If you were to bring in another young quarterback and say, all right, guys, have at it. Compete. Who wants to be the starting quarterback of this team? So that's one item of news coming out of Indianapolis. And there's a bunch of other news as it relates directly to Tom Brady.
Oh.
Bruce Arians.
Not the soccer coach.
Arena. Bruce Arians. There was a mix-up in a meeting we had yesterday in which someone said, yeah, you guys going to have Bruce Arians on?
Sure. Talk about drinking some paint. I got to drink me some paint.
Bruce Arians says that Tom Brady is a guy that would make him pick up the phone and reach out if he was made available.
What coach wouldn't say that?
Guys, he is available. You can pick up the phone and call him starting on the 16th.
Well, he can't tamper yet. Can't say he can tamper yet.
I said the 16th.
Yeah. Yep. He may answer it differently on the 16th.
If he were
is
made.
Is that technically tampering?
It feels like it's tampering
I don't know anymore, Jim.
Directly tampering.
Some little bitch.
Hey. If you wait till March 16th, we're interested. Publicly just said that.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what's allowed once a guy's going into free agency.
And they have a lot of money and they got some weapons.
But the Patriots are the only team that can sign him right today.
That's true.
Up until the 16th.
So Bruce Arians says, yep, we'd be in. We're in on Brady. If he's out there, we're going to make a call. I don't know what good that would do for the Tampa Bay Bucks, but Bruce Arians is all in on Brady. In addition to that, Mike Vrabel, speaking today at the Combine to the media, would not say whether he wants Ryan Tannehill as his quarterback for next year. Here it is.
Ryan did a lot of great things for us. He came in a tough situation, led our football team, and all those players that have expiring contracts, that's John's job and my job to help put our football team together, and we continue to have those conversations.
Oh, that is not an endorsement of Ryan Tannehill.
People have talked about
not even close
to franchise the quarterback, to guarantee that he's going to make 30.
Does that sound like a team that wants to franchise Ryan Tannehill?
I tell you, start of the show. Two team race. New England and Tennessee.
That's brutal. Vrabel on Brady said he'll do what's best for him and his family. Where that may be, I'm not sure. That's Mike Vrabel on what Tom Brady will do this offseason. Vrabel not willing to commit to Ryan Tannehill. The Tampa Bay Bucks say that they would pick up the phone and call Brady once available. And then there's this. Phil Perry asked Mike Mayock, he's the GM of the Raiders, if he'd ever consider adding a quarterback who ran an offense other than Gruden's. Nice question. Nice question, Phil. He didn't say, would you add Tom Brady? Would you consider a quarterback who runs something other than Gruden's offense? Quote, we've got a quarterback who runs John's offense at a very high level. That take them out of the Brady sweepstakes?
Yep, I think they're off.
Sounds
the table.
That way.
Yeah. Yep. Two-team race.
That's a public commitment to a quarterback that the Raiders gave today that the Titans would not give to theirs.
So after all the years of not believing any of Mayock's stuff during the draft talk, you're going to believe him now?
Yeah. First round arm talent. Ryan Mallett popped.
It is true. I do believe Mike Mayock is generally full of crap. That's a good point. He's in a different role now, though.
Different role now, and you got to put it out there.
It's a little different when you're not in the media. Shilling for your boys in the league. It's a little different. But it's a valid point nonetheless.
Just the stuff coming out of Raiders camp feels like they're in on their quarterback where it doesn't really feel they're that way in Tennessee. John and I have to put a team together. John Robinson talking about that with Vrabel.
Mike Mayock was also asked directly about Tom Brady rumors, and he said, I don't think anything of any rumors. He puts no thought into the rumors.
Mm.
That's what he said. Mm. What else? What else you have? Something else I should see? Oh, hold on. Vrabel asked about his relationship with Brady. Quote, undefeated. I'm hoping for a bigger trophy this year.
Wow. In your face.
Wow. Good one.
Brady had to give him that trophy, didn't he?
Vrabel versus Brady, 2-0.
What a dick he is, man.
Who?
Vrabel. He's so prickly.
You want the ultimate trump card to beat him? Is get Brady. That's the ultimate. I beat them. I got Brady.
Oh, to beat Bill.
Oh, yeah.
If you're Vrabel,
yeah.
Like, get your revenge on the
get
Patriots.
Get back on that organization, yeah.
No, it's not just to get Brady. It's to get Brady and win.
And it would also get ownership, right? Because isn't it too? Vrabel had a problem with that guy's getting paid. You put my picture up there on Patriot Place and who's taking the money, blah, blah, blah.
That was ahead of this current
CBA. That got his ass out of here real quick, right?
Now I have a guy that has one of the stores in Patriot Place.
Yeah.
On my team.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Yeah. You guys still got that store up here? I got your quarterback here. Oh, that would stick it to a lot of people.
What did he mention? The movie theater when he was back here?
Yeah, isn't that the address of the movie theater? Patriot Way? Isn't that
the Patriot Way? Isn't that where the movie theater is?
Oh, God.
Such a great answer. What a ball buster. He's awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. Patriot Way, isn't there like a movie theater there? Is that what's
bars.
The Patriot Way?
They have that Five Wits. What's this Helix thing I see signs for? What is Helix?
It's some video game thing.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Nasty.
I don't know much about it.
You know what, too? If Brady goes there, we got to play that stupid, stupid Titan Up song again.
So, Esports Complex.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, it'll have
they
the
bought a team, right?
The Boston Uprising practice facility.
Is that where
like
they play
their training
home?
Facility.
Oh,
they
like, play their like home the games Bruins there? Have Warrior Ice Arena?
Yes.
The Uprising will have this place?
Yes.
Like the Celtics are at the Auerbach Center, and now
they got those vibrating chairs and like.
So the question is it open to the public? Can you go in and watch them practice?
18,000 square foot esports complex. It also have a Helix Esports Gaming Center. This is an official partnership with Helix Esports and the Boston in Uprising of the professional Overwatch franchise.
They tailgate there.
Words.
Yes.
And, over 100
and
games,
such as,
thusly, the new complex will feature over 100 gaming stations, complete with PCs, top tier gaming, and network infrastructure, with over 30 consoles open to the public daily for social, school, competitive, or casual
gaming. Casual gaming.
Do you have to put your quarter like on the keyboard?
No. These are PC driven games.
Wait, but you still got to put your quarter in the slot somewhere. Do you put it? Where do you put it?
You put it in a slot.
No, but I got next. If I won next game, where do you put the quarter?
I had a buddy that drilled a hole in a quarter and put a fishing line tied to it, so he put it in and pulled it out.
It's called a slug. You get in a lot of trouble using those.
That has a name? Slug?
Yeah.
We got a gamer boy over here.
But once it goes down that slot, are you able to pull it back?
Oh, that's the whole point.
But does it work? Or does it sometimes get jammed up in there?
I never used a slug. I don't know.
You don't want your slug getting all jammed up?
Yeah, slide that slug in. Get it flat.
Can't have that happening.
Keep it flat.
You want to put it in, and then you want to be able to pull it out.
Pull it out quick.
You started it, Artie. You started it.
I'm doing it.
You did, though.
No, there's...
Admit it.
No, I did. He did.
Slugger.
No,
you did, slugger.
You did. Yeah, you did.
All I said was my guy drilled a quarter.
That's true.
Yep.
And you took it from there, and you went and ran with it.
Put it in and pull it out.
That's on you.
That's what
you said. Have you ever been to an estate sale?
Well, speaking of video games, there are some video games for sale at this estate sale that we're going to be talking about.
Mm. I've never been. We don't think anybody here has been to an estate sale.
I've been to a garage sale. I know somebody that had
a yard sale. Yeah, sure. Everyone's been to a yard sale.
But I don't know the details of what an estate sale
is. Okay, so we have some questions for the general public. What's it like when you go to an estate sale?
Right.
And we'll, in exchange, tell you what's available at an upcoming estate sale at the home of David Ortiz. We'll do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're like, here we go.
Here we go.
What did he say there?
I laughed and shook his hand.
So David Ortiz has apparently either sold his home in Weston, it's been up for sale, or he's about to sell it.
What do you think of the house?
He thinks it's going to sell soon. It's a great home. I remember looking at the listing when they made a big deal out of that. What was that, about a year ago? Or
I thought it would be bigger and grander, if that makes any sense. I don't know. It's a really, really nice house.
Great house.
You live in Weston. Jesus. It'd be like 10 times the value of anywhere else, too.
So
there, Newton.
He's not living there anymore.
Right.
There's an estate sale. Here's the description from estatesales.net. It says, join us for an all-star estate sale at the home of Red Sox legend David Big Papi Ortiz.
Of course. Put that in there.
In addition to some exceptional sports memorabilia, you'll find beautiful furniture and decor. Designer ladies' clothing and accessories.
Oh, hold on.
Jim.
This
sounds like.
Is this like an abduction? Like they just left and like everything was left behind?
You're going to sell everything?
Hey, women's underwear.
Do you know what this sounds like?
Ladies unmentionables.
Do you guys remember the sale of the century? It was like.
Oh, I love that show.
Yes.
No, but.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.